It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We were originally scheduled to interview a couple of Philadelphia Daily News reporters, Wendy Ruderman and Barbara Laker, today. They wrote a 10-part series detailing corruption in the Philadelphia Police Department. Their work won a Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting, and their tale is now a new book called Busted, A Tale of Corruption and Betrayal in the City of Brotherly Love. They will be appearing with us 1 week from today, so mark that on your calendar as rescheduled for 1 week from today, when they will also appear at Point Park University. On Monday, Mayor Bill Peduto appointed 45 people to serve on 11 boards, authorities, and commissions in the city of Pittsburgh. The appointments are said to represent the most diverse class of board, authority, and commission appointments in the history of the city. Pittsburgh City Paper editor Chris Potter joins us now to offer context and commentary, as only he can, on how these appointments are notable. Chris Potter, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Jeez, way to set the bar high for me there, Paul. It's good to be here, though.
Well, we always know that you will meet that or exceed that height. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. And we would throw the question out to you. What do you think of these board appointments by Mayor Peduto? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And Chris Potter, what can you tell me about the people that have been appointed? What were the names that jumped out at you?
Well, I mean, we should say, as you said, 45 people and 11 commissions, boards, and authorities. There are about 30 of these entities in the city, and we expect future appointments down the road. One of the things, as you quite rightly noted, that the Peduto administration is priding itself on is the diversity of its choices. And that kind of trend goes back to just even after the election, when he announced sort of his own executive committee, the sort of inner circle that would be around him. And it was practically like a rainbow coalition of folks, you know, actually probably more diverse than the city itself. Right now, I mean, the Peduto administration is saying is a little more than half of these appointees are women. And a quarter of them are African American, and that tracks fairly closely to the proportion of those populations within the city as a whole. The other thing they're stressing, and I myself have not gone and verified the zip codes of all the appointees, but the administration is saying we have really made a very pointed effort to be diverse, also in terms of geography. I mean, the idea is these appointments are literally all over the map. The rap on Bill Peduto, he was the councilman from the East End for many years, and I think there was sort of a concern that, you know, maybe he'd be the mayor of the East End. But what they've really tried to do is to reach out across the city and bring people in from who might not previously have expected to be in a board or authority position.
And what were some areas that may have been underrepresented in the past?
You know, we always at City Paper we always joke about sort of the forgotten West End of Pittsburgh. It doesn't get a lot of attention as a rule. It's kind of the forgotten corner of the city. I think those folks probably feel in a variety of ways that they are just kind of overlooked by city government.
And why is that? Why has that been?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, it's a sort of, you know, this is sort of a working class community. Not a lot of sort of financial wealth concentrated there. It's just population-wise, I think it's smaller than some of the other neighborhoods like Squirrel Hill or Beachview or some of these other places that are just numerically larger. At this point, I can't say who exactly is from the West End, which again, I guess, is part of the symptom of the problem.
But is it better represented?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, certainly every part of the city. And I've looked at some of these names, and there are some people there that, you know, I mean, there's some familiar names, and then there's some names that kind of surprise you as well. So I do think they're trying to deliver on this at this point.
And I want to get into maybe how the process has differed from how it was done in years past by other mayors. But let's go to the phones. 412-246-2002. We have Helen from East Liberty who would like to join the conversation. Helen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Helen.
So the Citizens Police Review Board is overdue for appointments. In light of incidents such as Leon Ford and Dennis Henderson, in which police brutality seems to be fairly clear, it seems like it'd be really important to get that board up and running again. Any thoughts?
Well, and I should say we highlighted this conversation with Beth Pittenger, who is the executive director of the CPRB yesterday, and what about what's happening here, Chris? Because as I understand it, and a lot of people are wondering about this, these appointments, these seats that are empty should have been filled in early February, but they were not.
Yeah, that's right. And this is the CPRB. One thing to remember is all of these boards and commissions have their own rules for who does the appointing, what that process is, what the qualifications are. And the review board is one of the more complicated ones to fill. So, for example, I believe there are three vacancies now currently on that board. One of them will be appointed by the mayor, two by council, and then the mayor has to sign off on them. The one appointed by the mayor has to be somebody with police, professional police experience in their resume. So I mean, this is a question. We had a story about this a few weeks ago in our paper raising exactly this point. Not too long ago, the review board basically had to cancel a meeting because of their active membership. One person couldn't make it, and they couldn't meet quorum. So it's a real problem. And you know, we've asked the administration, you know, where are you guys in that process? And you kind of get this answer: it's soon. It's coming soon. You know, and in fairness to them, this is an agency, the review board in particular, that through the previous mayoral administration, starting with Tom Murphy, has not necessarily gotten a lot of love. There's just sort of been a resistance to allowing outside investigations, inquiries into police conduct. And so it has tended to be sort of the redheaded stepchild of Pittsburgh civic agencies.
Which was the famous quote in the City Paper article. As a journalist, what are your thoughts about how – important is it to have those outside individuals calling certain things into question?
Yeah.
To have a different set of eyes on what's happening.
I think, you know, I'm old enough and been around long enough to remember when the review board was created. It was created in 1997 by a public referendum. And the support for that review board was substantial, and it was, again, all over the map. There were, you know, I think at the time a lot of people thought, well, police misconduct and tension with the community is really just a black community issue. But when you looked at the election returns that year, you saw that there were people from all across the city who really had this concern.
And this was in the wake of Johnny Gamage.
It was in the wake of Johnny Gamage and a lot of other incidents as well. And a lot of the – there was an ACLU lawsuit at the time, and a lot of the things people were talking about was police sort of coming into their apartments, you know, without much in the way of warning and without much in the way of you know, like sort of a legitimate reason to be there, at least was the allegation. So, you know, I think it's really important in that sense. This thing came out of – this board was created out of a real sort of crisis. And as I think the caller alluded to, you know, there are certainly a lot of people who think – we're getting pretty close to that same kind of tension, that same kind of mutual mistrust that we had back in 1997. It's kind of incredible that in the course of my career, I've already sort of seen this issue already mm-hmm. kind of come full circle. So I do think it's very important. And, you know, I want to say to the administration's credit, one of the appointments they did within the actual workforce of the city was they appointed a new head of the Office of Municipal Investigations, which is sort of the internal review of police conduct. And the head of that agency was a former review board member. So, you know, there's at least a sign that they're taking this seriously, but it's clearly taking time to get this board up to full speed. And I certainly don't blame anybody for being frustrated after all these years.
Helen, thank you for that phone call, 412-246-2002. If you'd like to join the conversation with Pittsburgh City Paper editor Chris Potter, who is joining us to talk about the appointments made by Mayor Peduto earlier this week of people to serve on boards, authorities, and commissions in the city of Pittsburgh, announcements, appointments that were eagerly anticipated. And we were talking about the diversity that really has shown up in these appointments. One quote from Mayor Peduto with regard to how he wanted to approach this, he said, quote, "Diversity is important because only when we have all viewpoints and backgrounds at the table will we truly make decisions that benefit all stakeholders of this city," end quote. So was he taking an approach that other mayors have not?
I mean, I went back and looked. I got curious about just this question. How does he really shape up? And I went back and looked at how previous mayor Bob O'Connor performed. And there was some media coverage in the first few months of his administration. This was back in 2006, actually at the story in March. And I sort of was interested in comparing how they did. And the numbers I came up with were, as I mentioned, Mr. Peduto citing 55% female appointees. Bob O'Connor, who was also citing the diversity of his appointments, 41% female. So Mayor Peduto doing slightly better than Bob O'Connor. And they did almost statistically almost exactly the same in terms of black recruitment. I'll just say I did not include Mayor Ravenstahl in that simply because he came in under those tragic circumstances of Bob O'Connor's death. So I felt he had kind of inherited some folks and it was just too difficult to really do that kind of comparison. But certainly numerically you can say, you know, he's doing as well or better than the O'Connor administration. And again, we got to remember there are still 20 other boards, authorities, and commissions out there, the review board being one, ethics board, some of the really kind of heavy-hitting ones that are about government transparency and reform that are issues that are near and dear to the mayor's heart. You know, we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop on this.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Brian from South Fayette. Brian, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how you doing? Listen, my question is, you know, while these appointments are – you know, taking place, maybe it's time to take a look at the way we police the area and think about combining all these municipalities under, you know, one command, like they do in other major cities, you know, divided into zones, but, you know, share the resources and the abilities of a larger force so that it's more homogenized as opposed to just a bunch of little districts sort of operating on their own.
Well, Brian, that's very interesting and a very good question. What do you think, Chris?
I mean, it's one of those things everybody says is a good idea. I've been a reporter now since the mid-90s. People have been talking about consolidating services. It's one of those things that looks good on paper, but when you really drill down into the details, what you find is a lot of community resentment. There are a lot of people in a lot of communities who like their police. They believe, rightly or wrongly, that if they merge with a neighboring municipality, that that will have a adverse effect on their response times. You know, if the police are over in Wald, you know, don't necessarily drive over to Wilmerding as quickly as they should or as they previously had. I mean, those are the kinds of tensions that you tend to find quite a bit. This is a very, you know, by design, some would argue. We live in a state that has a lot of local, very fractured local municipal governments. And these have just been – it's difficult to resolve that. People identify very strongly with the communities in which they live, which is a great thing in some ways. But on the other hand, it can maybe sometimes interfere with some of those efficiencies.
So I was just going to say it may not be the most efficient thing, most efficient approach to policing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the city has – you know, there has been there has been talk about sharing some services with neighboring municipalities like Wilkinsburg. I believe the city's already doing trash services for the borough of Wilkinsburg, and we'll see how some of that stuff goes. You know, it's an issue that the mayor himself has talked about in the past. He's a big believer in kind of a more regional approach to all kinds of decisions. So, but again, I mean, you have to respect the fact that there are people who made a conscious decision, presumably not to live in the city. They feel very strongly about the neighborhoods in which they're in, and they may or may not really want to get on board with that.
412-246-2002, the number to call to get in on the conversation with Chris Potter, city paper editor. And we'll stick with police issues for now and go to DJ in Squirrel Hill. DJ, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thank you. Hello, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, one of the comments, I'd like to make just two comments and initially on the police department that, you know, we may not have to reinvent the wheel to fix the culture, and I think that's what needs to be addressed with the police department. There's many cities throughout the country that have this problem and have resulted in fixing their police department through different models. So we definitely don't have to reinvent the wheel. And the other thing about the police department is there is some good people on the police department. When people see a lower power person, such as a patrolman, they think bad things, but of course, that's a lower power person, and he or she is just following orders. So I'd just like to make that comment. And secondly, real quick, is the diversity what we're talking about. I believe that, you know, diversity has many layers. So, you know, one of the layers is, you know, who you look like and gender. Gender is one. But the other thing is the stance that you're taking, the political stance and what you support and what you stand for. And, you know, as I'm looking at some of the appointments, I see the same type of person, the same stance, the same political agenda, whether they're black, Hispanic, or women or men. Mm-hmm. So diversity has many layers to it, and I think we need to look a little bit deeper into diversity before we applaud ourselves for having diversity on those appointments. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, DJ. He has a point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I, you know, And I have certainly heard already from some folks who are concerned, for example, that there's where is sort of a visible LGBT presence amongst the appointees mm-hmm. that have gone on there? And I can't profess to know the sexual orientation or identity of everybody who's been named to these boards. But I think that's sort of an issue, an outstanding issue, a question that the mayor is going to have to address. I mean, we should be fair to him and say it's very early in this process. There's still a lot more appointments to do. I would say, I mean, to your caller, I've looked at some of these and, yeah, there's definitely some of the – I mean, I don't want to say usual suspects because that's probably not fair. But, you know, there's certainly some familiar names. There are also some new names. I was particularly interested in the Sports and Exhibition Authority, which basically has management over the convention center, the stadiums on the North Shore, and then also Console Arena and some of the property there. One of Mr. Padua's more interesting picks, I think, was Reverend John Welch, who has been a very active and vocal presence with the Pittsburgh Interfaith Impact Network, which is sort of a group of progressively minded clergy folk. And they've been very involved front and center on a lot of social justice issues lately. So I think that there's sort of an interesting choice. I don't know that I can think of somebody like that who's been appointed to a board like Sports and Exhibition Authority. A lot of times people who are activists, people who are noisy, people who get riled up tend to be put on boards that are sort of more advisory in nature. They don't necessarily have decision-making power over budgets that have millions of dollars to dispose of. Another appointment we should probably call out is the choice of Karen Glotfelty to be on the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority, which handles all those sewer lines and whatever. That's an agency that has a lot of questions about how are we going to comply with wastewater and stormwater discharge requirements. Previously, we used to just dig a lot of tunnels and, you know, lay a lot of pipe and do a lot of things that involve moving earth and so on and so forth.
The mayor the most green
approach.
Yeah,
exactly so. And Mayor Peduto has been very consistent in saying he wants to incorporate more green ideas there. Ms. Glotfelty is a good example of that, somebody at the Heinz Endowments who is very involved in environmental initiatives. So your caller is not wrong. There are some familiar faces, but there are some new ones too.
412-246-2002, if you would like to join the conversation. What do you think about Mayor Bill Peduto's board appointments, some 45 in all made earlier this week? And one of the things that Mayor Peduto requested in January when he took office was that all appointees of the prior administration serving on these city boards and commissions submit their resignations. So, Chris, what about some of the people who have not stepped down from their positions? What happens in those cases?
Right. As I said before, different authorities have different rules that they play by. There are authorities and boards where the mayor, where all the members serve basically at the pleasure of the mayor, and he can remove them at will. The most prominent example of a case that's not like that is the Urban Redevelopment Authority, which handles all kinds of redevelopment efforts from big ticket items downtown to street face improvements out in neighborhood business districts. There are two folks who have basically said, I intend to serve out my full term. One is State Senator Jim Furlow, who represents Lawrenceville and some other areas. And the other is City Councilor Dan Lavelle, who represents the Hill District and downtown, actually. Both of them have said they intend to fill out their terms. And there's really nothing that Bill Peduto can do about that. The URA was one of the first boards to be created under one of the first municipal authorities to be created under state law. And they were concerned about sort of mayors having too much power. And so they basically had these staggered terms. And there's really not a provision for removing people unless they're, you know, drunk or dead or some combination of the two. So in that case, the mayor just has to kind of live with that and do what he can to work with them or work around them.
A Twitter question that came in from the transportation group is asking, where is an ethics board that fits transition team recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big one. Like I said before, I mean, Mayor Peduto ran essentially on a campaign that was that put forward a lot of messages of reform and transparency. And ethics board is one of the boards that he has not named anybody on. Again, this is a board like the Citizen Review Board that has idled under previous administrations. Bob O'Connor talked about wanting to reinvigorate it and was not able to do so, and it essentially idled during the Ravenstahl years. So it's a great question. I think that's one of those boards that the mayor has not yet acted on and that he's going to have to.
I want to go back to police issues or something related to the issue of policing in the city of Pittsburgh. Yeah. What are your thoughts and what have you heard, Chris, about allowing Pittsburgh police officers to live outside the city?
Yeah, this is an issue I wrote about this week. I'll be doing more writing on. What I think we've seen is what Senator Jim Furlow has sort of said. This is really an issue for democracy. As your listeners probably remember, in November, the people of Pittsburgh went out and did a public referendum that basically enshrined the residency requirement for police into the city charter. So it's part of like the Constitution of Pittsburgh now. And what happened since then is an arbitrator, a three-member panel, ruled basically in the police officer's favor and said, guess what? The requirement that you live in the city is waived. So we're in this weird little situation here, which is the arbitrator who made that decision is a guy from Norristown. The whole legal climate that allowed that decision to be made is the result of a 2012 law, Act 195, that was largely advanced by Republicans who also don't live in the city of Pittsburgh. And now they're going to be police who hope to also not be residents of the city of Pittsburgh. So there's this really sort of tension, I think, between what a city can do and the rules it can set for itself as opposed to the rules that are being set for those who don't live here and may never even have cause to drive through town. So it is a real – of course, the Peduto administration, we should say, has filed an appeal. It's very likely that if there's not some settlement there, this is the kind of case – and I've been talking to some attorneys over the past day or two. This is the kind of case – there are so many complicated issues here. It's the kind of thing that's likely to go to the Supreme Court. It will take years to resolve. And in the meantime, the police can't leave because essentially by filing the case, they've sort of put a hold on that decision. So if nothing else, what Bill Peduto has done by filing this suit is given himself the ability to negotiate with the police.
It's a bargaining chip.
I mean, it's more than that. I think he has to do it. I think when your population votes, when your constituents vote 4-1 in November that they want the police to remain residents, I think as a mayor you have to respect that and you have to pursue it. But you know, the mayor has said all along he was willing to talk about easing or waiving the residency requirement in exchange for other kinds of concession on discipline and oversight and things like that. I should also point out that just so people in Pittsburgh know how bad they have it, in Philadelphia – when they ease the requirement for police there, police officers in Philadelphia still have to live 5 years within Philadelphia before they can move out. You could now be – if this arbitrator's decision is upheld and stands, you could become a police officer and work out your entire career without ever sleeping a night within the city limits. I mean that's just how different these two worlds are.
Talking with Pittsburgh City Paper editor Chris Potter, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Let's go to Dave from Lawrenceville. Dave, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
You bet.
I wanted to get your take quickly here on maybe just a little bit of a broader issue. Comparing and contrasting the Peduto administration with the Ravenstahl administration, there are certainly some significant differences. But something that I've noticed here in the first couple of months of Peduto's administration has been, you know, a partisanship in the direction of, you know, progressive Democrats. And that the political positioning and appointments on boards and various positions like that are basically being filled with the same partisanship as the previous administration. And I don't think that that's something that necessarily is discussed very much. So I just wanted to get your take
on
that.
Let me ask a question of you, Dave, before we let Chris answer your question. And that is, are you saying that Bill Peduto, who's appointing a lot of, in your words, progressive Democrats, and he is in fact identified as a progressive Democrat. Did you have some expectation that he might appoint some conservative Republicans to some of these positions?
Certainly not. But I think if the administration is discussing a approach that is inclusive, that it would include others that differ from his political opinion. And I don't necessarily see that happening a lot, although I don't know personally all of the appointments that he's made. That's the impression that is being given, I think.
Well, it's a fair question. Sure. And so, Chris Potter, what about the idea that that if you're going to talk about inclusion and diversity, that should also include diverse political viewpoints?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, and I think we should say there are certainly appointments that Mayor Peduto has advanced that do fit exactly the kind of model your caller's talking about. And to take the Urban Redevelopment Authority Board, just because we're mentioning it, one of his picks was State Representative Ed Gainey, who represents black neighborhoods in the eastern part of Pittsburgh, Homewood, and some of those areas. I mean, Ed Gainey and Bill Peduto are very close political allies. There's no question about it. And, you know, there's not much difference maybe between Bill Peduto appointing Ed Gainey and Mayor Luke Ravenstahl reappointing Jim Furlow to that very same board. Those two were also close together. You know, I don't – I don't know that that's necessarily a problem. I mean, I guess maybe I'm just kind of old school to some extent that I don't think you can and maybe you even should take the politics out of politics, right? I mean, people voted for Bill Peduto. That is to some extent a mandate. A lot of his like-minded colleagues won on city council in city council races last year as well. So elections have consequences and people voted for this kind of approach to politics and that's what they're getting. I will say there are some holdovers from the Ravenstahl administration. Kathy Koresh, she was a former deputy finance director appointed to – geez, I'm blanking on one of those boards. Parking Authority. Thank you.
Yes.
And a couple of others as well. So it's not a wholesale out with the old year zero kind of approach. But I think your caller is right. You know, people appoint people who they think are going to carry out their agenda on these boards.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Grant in Pittsburgh. Grant, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a question regarding the incident on St. Patrick's Day a year ago. On the south side near Lydia's restaurant, it's now becoming a hotel in the Smallman Street, there was a woman walking by and she made a comment, or it was a man, to a police officer who basically bullied her and then tased him or her. And how much more, and there was a person who was filming it, and here it turned out that person had at least five other claims of police brutality put against them. That was on film. How much more blatant does the abuse have to be?
Yeah. And you're referring to an incident, yes, last year, and it was a male that was involved and was allegedly intoxicated. And, you know, on the south side, there is a lot of that going on St. Patrick's Day, or at least on that Saturday before St. Patrick's Day when they hold the parade.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you know, Grant has a concern. He's saying that what, if anything, was done about this? What should be done?
Well, part of the issue there, and I remember the incident. I'm not sure what its disposition is with the agencies. Part of the issue is there's always been a certain friction between the internal review board I mentioned before, the Office of Municipal Investigations, and the Citizen Police Review Board. There's sort of jurisdictional questions about does the review board get to weigh in on these issues before OMI has made its determinations or whatever. And what ends up happening a lot of times is people wait and wait and wait to see some kind of resolution from the review board. We should also point out review board decisions. If the review board says, you know what, that officer did wrong, he should be given a 5-day suspension, there's nothing binding about that recommendation. It's simply a recommendation and the mayor's free to and the public safety director are free to ignore it. I do think there are some of these questions. And there's a whole other longstanding critique of the review board from people who really agitated for it and wanted to see more discipline, which is that it doesn't have enough power. And I think the problem has been that since previous administrations have not really taken the board all that seriously, we haven't really even got to the point where we can kind of say like maybe there's some things about the way police accountability is done in this city that just need to be changed. Maybe some of the bylaws and the rules that govern the review board need to be changed. The problem is just that it's been idling for so long, I think, that we don't know how it really runs.
And it may not all be resolved until we see a new police chief.
Yeah, and we're going to have to see a new public safety director, which is another appointment that I think a lot of people are waiting for and unfortunately is taking quite a bit of time.
Wanted to ask you about one last thing before we let you go, sure. Chris, and that is there is another City Hall story brewing with the former mayor, Ravenstahl, who allegedly took his computer, then returned it, and the FBI is investigating. When Bill Peduto took office, explain how this works. Is the mayor given a city-owned computer and did in fact Mayor Ravenstahl take this with him? They say it was missing for 4 days and then he brought it back.
Yeah. Essentially, I mean, I don't know a heck of a lot about this story. I was afraid you were going to ask me about it. So all I know is what's been reported elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, the mayor's office has, a computer that he uses. These things are not bolted down. I mean, it's not like it's a low rent motel. You know what I mean? So the previous mayor did take just the computer itself, not the monitor, the keyboard, or the other stuff home with him. His attorney has explained that he was concerned that the computer would disappear under the new administration, that he'd somehow be blamed for it. So he wanted to make sure that didn't happen. That's the representation made by his attorney. I mean, I don't really know. It's a little hard to sort of know quite what to make of that explanation. I mean, I would find it just as credible as if he said, you know, he didn't want Peduto beating his score at Minesweeper. I mean, So I'm not really sure what's going on there. This is, but there are a series of items that have purportedly either been damaged or disappeared, and I'm just at a complete loss to say anything about that.
Now that sums it all up right there, and we'll see how the FBI investigation into this turns out. Pittsburgh City Paper editor Chris Potter has joined us to talk about the mayor's board appointments and a number of things. And Chris, we've covered a lot. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Coming up, March Madness is in full swing. It's starting today, and we will talk with our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, about bracketology. That's next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.